Lord, help us to commence with the first five verses of hymn 780. We hope to sing the remainder for our middle hymn. Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season, every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason. What is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. 780, the first five verses.
Thank you. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from the Gospel recorded by Matthew, the 26th chapter, commencing to read at verse 14. Matthew chapter 26, from verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, that same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, away from me. Except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of all the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, You've spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy, what think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Almighty and Holy Lord God, may the solemnity of what we have been reading sanctify our hearts and minds as we come now to worship thee this day. Bring us by sweet and living faith now to the foot of thy cross, Lord Jesus. And may we behold Emmanuel suffering there on our behalf. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies which bring us into thy house. The mercy of the open word of God. Do bless it unto our hearts. And that manna to our souls be given. The bread of life sent down from heaven. We thank thee, Lord, for all the blessings which flow from the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, for that glorious plan and way of salvation, for redeeming love and thy free grace. We pray this day that thou wouldst come and stand in the midst of this congregation, in this house of God, and make it unto us the house of God. Make it to us the gate of heaven. And do command thy blessing, even life, forevermore. Help us to worship thee aright. And give us great views of thee, and help us to worship thee with reverence, with respect, that sacred solemn awe, knowing who it is that we are coming before, the great almighty creator and judge. May we come before thee as our God and King, but also as our Father and our friend, our Saviour, and our Comforter. Do speak unto us the word of God. Open our hearts by faith, and lead us into the treasures of thy gospel. We pray for this people. We ask thee, gracious God, to in tender loving care and mercy watch over them and bless them in their daily lives and their various needs. May they know thy help and thy blessing. Bless any, Lord, who need thee this day in any particular way, who are in trouble, who are in distress, in sorrow, perplexity, persecution, trouble, trial, sickness. Any, Lord, who are looking to thee for divine direction, grant it unto them. Any, Lord, who come into thy house in conviction of sin, may they leave it knowing that they are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Any, Lord, who come in a dead, careless, hard, indifferent, unbelieving state, quicken them into life, we pray. And cause them to know that they have an eternity to spend somewhere. Bless thy people, the living in Jerusalem. Bless those, Lord, who are sitting at thy feet, who are exercised, who are in a spiritually healthy condition. Do protect them and keep them there. And remember those, Lord, who are backslidden in heart, who are in a hardened, deadened, feelingly condition, who have wandered and strayed, whose love has grown cold. May they prove this day, Lord, that thy love to them has not grown cold. and that thou art still art their friend and their Saviour and their Lord. May they be drawn back to thee this day. Bless the preaching of thy word here, and bless the labours in the Sunday school. Bless the children, and early in life visit them with thy salvation. May they be made useful and a blessing in the house of God in generation yet to come. Help the deacons and bless them and support and give them wisdom in the office that they must fulfill. Bless each church member, unite them together in love and union. May they often speak one another of what Jesus has done for them. And bless, we pray, the ministry of thy word this day, and the causes of truth in this land and other lands also. Wherever thy word is preached this day faithfully, grant thy help, and grant thy blessing to attend the preaching of thy word. Crown thy gospel with success. Prepare our hearts, gracious God, and make them a good ground, ready and fit to receive the good seed of thy word. And do bless this nation and the nations of the world. Hear the prayers in the prayer meeting before this service. And we pray, gracious God, that at this time of worldly crisis, that thou wouldst keep thy people, that thou wouldst protect them from harm. And could it please thee to use even these solemn events to cause our leaders, to cause our fellow countrymen, and also ourselves to consider, is there not a cause? And may this even be used for the revival of thy work, and for that turning of repentance to thee. Lord, we know thou canst. Could it please thee so to do? We ask now thy help as we come to thy word. Touch our lips with holy fire to speak of Calvary. Touch the ears and hearts of the people to hear. May this be an hour spent in thy presence. And as we go forth, may we be able to say we've been with Jesus. We've heard his voice. We ask in his name. Amen.
Continue with hymn 780, commencing at verse 6. Faith, when void of works, is dead, this the scriptures witness. And what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? 780, commencing at verse 6.
Thank you.
So Lord, may help me. Desire to speak to you today from the Gospel recorded by Matthew, chapter 26, verse 38. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. We have here in the words of our text, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, expressing to his disciples a little of what he is going through in his holy soul. Here he is at the very commencement of his redeeming work, which were necessary for the demands of justice to be paid if his people were to be delivered from eternal damnation. We see here in the sufferings of Christ the clear declaration of God Almighty. There is no other way that it is possible for mankind to be forgiven and to be delivered from the terrors of hell than through the sufferings of Christ on the cross at Calvary. If there was any other way, if it were possible that you and I could save ourselves, the Father would have answered the prayer of the Saviour in the following verses, and he would never have been arrested. But the fact that he was not saved from that pathway is the declaration of God that if ever your or my soul is to be saved, it is through this way and this way alone. If we are a stranger to what Christ went through this night and in the following day, you and I have no hope of heaven. Now, he says here, my soul. Lord Jesus had a soul. And this is part of our most holy faith. We contend that the Lord Jesus was made like us in everything with the exception of sin. He had no sin, but in every other way he was like us. He was a real man. That means he had a real body. Like you and I have a real body. made up exactly the same. He also had a real human soul, like you and I have. And the reason we contend for that is this: if he did not have a human soul, he could not be our Saviour. Because a substitute was required who is exactly like the sinner. We are told he took not on him the nature of angels. That means had he come to save and suffer for the fallen angels, he would have to have become an angel. He would have to have taken their nature. But he bypassed them. And he took on him the nature and the seed of Abraham. And so it is vital for our salvation, for us to realize that Jesus had a holy human soul. Of course, he was also truly God as well as truly man. The natures are taken into union, but they are distinct. His humanity is not his Godhead. His Godhead is not his humanity. As God, he could not suffer. He could not die. He could not be weary. But as man, he was all those things. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. The fruit of sin is sorrow. The fruit of all sin is sorrow at the end. It may produce some short-lived joy. But it will be followed by sorrow. All the sorrows of this world are because of sin. And for those who are found at the end of life, total strangers to Jesus Christ, will find that they have an eternity of being exceedingly sorrowful. And that will never end. Child of God, because you sinned, Jesus had to become exceeding sorrowful on your behalf. That you have done wrong, the Saviour had to take this cup that you deserved, that you filled yourself, and drink it for you. Such was his love for you. And that love has not changed. His love no end nor change can know. No change can turn its course. Immutably the same it flows from one eternal source. And if our dearest comforts fall before his sovereign will, he never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. This morning you may be in a path of deep trial, of deep sorrow, of deep darkness, of deep distress. And maybe you have long been in such a pathway. Well, this morning the Saviour speaks to you. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Doesn't ask you to watch for two, just one. He watched for 33 years for you. And yes, your hour may be dark, but his hours were far more darker. Yes, your pathway may be sorrowful, his sorrows were far deeper. Yes, it may be perplexing and troubling and distressing. His way was much rougher. And yes, this morning hour you may have come into the house of God again asking why you have been given this cup. Well, did you not once pray to know more and a deeper understanding of the sufferings of Christ? Did you not once pray to be made like him? Did you not once pray that you wanted to know something of the fellowship of his sufferings? Well, this is how he answers. To be made a partaker, that means that in measure, you have to pass just a little of the way your Saviour went to give you a deeper understanding of what he went through for you. So if this morning hour you are finding it hard to bear your cross, ask him to show you his cross and to give you the grace to bear it, looking unto him who bore his cross for you. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Tarry ye here. In other words, stand still. Don't go any further. Stop. And watch. It means be vigilant. It means be observant. Be alert. Be awake. Consider what is taking place for your spiritual and also your temporal good. And sometimes he calls us to stand still. He brings us to a complete halt. He gets our full attention to teach us something which we could not learn until we stood still. And you who are this morning determined you're not going to learn, you will stay in your condition until you are made willing to stand still and learn. Be submissive. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And it's with me, never alone. The Saviour had to pass through his pathway alone. Even this request, his disciples failed. They did not watch, they slept. And he had to pass through the path in front of him alone. He doesn't call you, believer, to walk alone. He doesn't call you to watch alone. It's always with me. He is watching with you. He is watching over you. Your pathway is in his hand, under his divine control, even though you cannot see it this morning. The darkness has hidden him from your view and you think you're alone. You're not. Although you cannot see him, he can see you perfectly, clearly. And even though you don't think he's in control, he is. complete control. He remains the sovereign ruler of the skies, and that includes being the ruler over the events of your life. Yield not then to unbelief. Take courage. He's with you, not against you, not absent from you. Ask him then to give you that faith, to rest in that fact. You say, I cannot feel it. Don't rest too much on feeling. Rest instead on the word and the character of your Saviour. He has blessed you, believer, in the past. You would be a liar if you denied it. He has worked in your life. He has shown you the forgiveness of your sin. Now, he's also said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that means never. It means there are no circumstances in life when he will forsake you, when he will turn his back on you, when he will lose sight of you, when he will stop thinking or caring about you. And he's never broken his word yet. Why do you think he'll begin with you? It does not mean you're always going to enjoy it, that feeling. But the truth remains the same, whether you enjoy that feeling or not. Sometimes he tries your patience. Sometimes he tests you to make you long for him, to make you more prayerful, to make you more exercised. But it's not done in anger. It's not done because he's deserted you. These very things prove he's not deserted you. Because if he had deserted you, you would give up. You would go back. But you haven't. And you can't, can you? Why? Because he hath said, I will never leave thee. And he will never let you quite leave him either. Tarry ye here and watch with me. May the Lord help us so to do. Because there are many lessons that we can learn from the sufferings of Christ. And the first thing we find, we consider his sufferings. It's how much grief it must have caused the Saviour that the high priests and the religious leaders of his day hated him so much that they were determined to kill him. Here we find that the successor of Aaron, those who were in the office that God himself had appointed, and the very office of the priest and the high priest, in part, was to point the people to the Saviour yet to come, who was spoken of in all those types and shadows and sacrifices, of whom the prophets clearly told. They of all people and the high priest of this chapter of all people should have presented the Saviour to the people and said, behold the Lamb of God. Here is the one who has fulfilled the prophets and the law. Here is the one whom the Father has sent to us. Instead, he is the very one to accuse the Saviour of blasphemy. It was exceeding sorrowful for the Lord to see just how low the nation of Israel had sunk. Exceeding sorrowful. And then, of course, his life had been a life of sorrow. And although they perhaps did not realize it, how much sorrow his disciples must have given him in the previous 3 years, as they lived with him, but the Saviour marked and knew every sin that they committed while they were with him. And he knew that every one of them was going to cost him his life and the sorrow that he speaks of in our text. The Lord Jesus Christ never got used to sin in his life, either in believers or in unbelievers. And it grieved him wherever he saw it, that the creation of this world, that mankind should so rebel and reject their Creator in this way. And child of God, your sorrow, your sin was also upon his heart as he lived in this place of tears. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Even unto death, tarry ye here. Then we have this wretched character, Judas Iscariot, called to be a disciple of the Lamb. And his presence was a constant reminder to the Saviour of what was to come. And beloved friends, just because the Saviour knew that Judas would betray him, just because he knew that Simon Peter would deny him, just because he knew that all of them would forsake him and flee, it does not mean that it reduced the sorrow when it happened. In no way did it do so. It was a grief to him that one who he had called to be a disciple, one who he had been nothing but kind to, one whose own life he had saved from a watery grave on the Sea of Galilee, one who he had fed when he was hungry, one who he had preached to, one who he had spent so many hours in his company that he should then turn and betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas valued the Saviour so little that he betrayed him. 30 pieces of silver, which was about 1 month's wages in that day. Tarry ye here and watch with me. We find here in this garden, in the following verses, how the Saviour pours out his heart. He leaves his disciples here and he goes further, alone. Beloved friends, there's only so far we can go. But the Saviour goes further. He calls us in our pathway to come to this point. But then he goes a stone cast further. And we remain to watch. but he had to face this path alone. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He prays to his Father. He speaks to him as his Father. He wrestles with him as his Father. And he prayed in faith, because he knew that whatever cup his Father placed in his hand was for the best, for him and for his people. Not the hymn say, my Father's hand prepares the cup. What he wills is best. Ask God to give you the faith to believe it, even though you cannot see it. What he wills is best. And to give you that faith to rest and to trust in the fact that your Father would never cause you to pass an unnecessary way, to drink an unnecessary cup. And that one day all will be explained, if not here, it will be in the hereafter of heaven. Watch with me. Watch with me in my prayers. Now, beloved friends, the lesson here is that it is not wrong for any one of us to seek, to ask that a cup may pass from us, provided we pray in the spirit and example of the Saviour. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That means the Saviour was not offended. He was not angry. He did not love his Father any the less because his Father would not let the cup pass. He went willingly to Calvary. Because he knew it was his Father's will. Poor believer, this morning you're never going to find peace while you kick against your Father's will. And one of the reasons you are kicking is because you've lost the fact that he is your Father. That he has a love for you. He has a care for you. And this cup is not given to you in judicial anger, but in covenant love. Tarry ye here and watch with me. This is one of those lessons the Lord is teaching you here. And he will keep you there until you come to this point. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. And we find he prayed 3 times the same words. And what do we learn from watching that? Carry on in prayer. Wrestle on. He does not always answer immediately. Don't give up. That's what Satan wants you to do. Don't give up. And there are always three answers that he gives. In one sense, there is no such thing as unanswered prayer. He will say either yes, no, or not yet. And beloved friends, when he says no, or when he says not yet, that is just as much an answer as when he says yes. And child of God, remember this, that your Father in love to you, with just the same love as when he says yes, also says no or not yet. It doesn't mean that his love for you has changed or grown less because he has said to you no, or because he said to you be patient for a little while longer. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Again, we do not deserve anything other than a no. And yet how often does the Lord God Almighty say to you in mercy, yes? The Saviour did not deserve this pathway in and of himself because he had done no wrong. Believer, because you deserved it. The Father could not let his Son not drink of this cup. The Saviour willingly drank it for you, believer. Then ask him to give you love to him, to make you willing to drink your cup for him. Ask him to sanctify it to you. That means ask him to make it profitable to your soul, to learn more of him as you drink the cup. To have a deeper knowledge and understanding of his sufferings and of his love for you. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Then we are told in one of the other Gospels, he prayed more earnestly. His prayer got more intense. And the only place we ever read of that word agony is in the Garden of Gethsemane, here when the Saviour prayed. And the only right use of that word is in relation to the sufferings of Christ. He and he alone knew what agony meant. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then here, believer by faith, may you this morning see the fountain open for sin. In this garden. And again, we understand just a little of what intense suffering and conflict and sorrow and burden the Saviour bore. on this night, in this garden. We are told in one of the other Gospels, in an account of another event that took place this same week in which the Saviour died, that it was a winter. We are told in one of the other Gospels, an account of after the Saviour's arrest, and they had returned to the high priest's house. We are told that they had kindled a fire, and the soldiers who had arrested him were standing round the fire. And the reason we're told, because it was cold. They'd got cold as they'd gone to arrest the Saviour, because it was so cold out in that garden. And Peter sat down with them because he was cold. And yet on that cold night, such is the intensity of that unseen weight, as our Saviour begins to drink of the almighty anger of God against himself. And it produced that mysterious and yet sacred sweat, of great drops of blood mingling down to the ground. And there, beloved friend, we see the fountain for sin unlocked, the gates opened. It was not permitted for those unbelieving Jews to open that fountain of precious blood. It was not permitted to Pilate or those cruel Roman soldiers with their scourging to unlock the fountain. It was unlocked here in the garden. And there, believer, you see the willingness of your Saviour to suffer and to bleed for you. Those drops of blood fall down to the ground, and they cover that ground which is cursed because of sin. Completely cover it. And that precious, holy, sinless, pure blood blots out that ground, it can't be seen. And believer, that precious blood, when it is applied to your heart and conscience, it blots out all your sin, so it cannot be seen. I may have told you before that illustration, which speaks of the power of the blood of Christ. If you collected all the blood that had been shed from all the lambs, the goats, the calves, the bulls, which have been shed for sin in the Old Testament dispensation, right from the Garden of Eden onwards to this night, if you collected it all in one place, it would come to a very great depth, and probably we couldn't maybe even fathom how deep it was. And yet not all that blood could save you from one sin. It had not the power. It has not the ability. It only spoke as a signpost to Christ, but it never literally took away the sin of those for whom it was shed. It was the gospel sermon preaching to the Jews of the Saviour yet to come. But such is the power of the precious blood of Christ, that if it is applied to your soul just once, one drop is enough to save you from all your sin forever. There's power in the blood, and there is still power. Yes, since the day, said the hymn writer, I saw the streams, thy flowing wounds supplied, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And this is the theme of heaven, the precious blood of the Lamb of God. What mighty stream paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and has my soul at freedom set? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. The time has gone, so we must leave it there for this morning, but if the Lord will, we will perhaps come, we hope, a little deeper into this subject this evening. Go home and pray that the Lord may open this to me, that I may open it to you, and that together we may sit down and watch with him. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £736, for which we're truly thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for members on Friday evening, and Mr. John Rosier, God willing, will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. And our friends at Fenstanton hold their anniversary services next Saturday. The collections today are for our local TBS auxiliary. And there's just a notice here, in the light of public health advice, we recommend no shaking of hands at services until further notice. And also, because of the current crisis, God willing, we will hope to hold another prayer meeting at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1006. Buried in shadows of the night, we lie till Christ restores the light. Wisdom descends to heal the blind and chase the darkness of the mind. Hymn 1006.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the sacred communion of God the Holy Ghost, rest, rule, and remain with us, now and forever. Amen.